Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on Hump Day, and you know the deal. Hump Day, the middle of the week. We also have this thing we do at 4 o'clock called the Grand Council, where I bring in two of my brethren and talk radio, and we just ping each other with questions and see where the chips fall. So, let me call the roll on the council. From FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show. Oh, by the way, he's the editor-in-chief for 1819 News and also does work for, I don't know, Breitbart and a whole bunch of other people. Jeff Poor, are you there?
I'm present.
You are indeed. Thank you, man. All right. Turning to the north, up yonder in Huntsville, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, Cumulus Broadcasting's WVNN, host of the Dale Jackson Show. Oh, by the way, he's also the program director and does some stuff for Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson, are you there?
What?
I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, JP.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. Ba-da. All right, fresh off of last week where it was nothing but one technical gaffe after another, I've got the crew in place. Jeff Poor, you first.
How important is it for Trump, for Pete Hegseth, to get through this rough patch?
So that was one of my questions, was do I think he's I was going to ask, do y'all like him or not, but Pete Hegseth. So, I mean, is Ron DeSantis really waiting in the wings, or is that a rumor? I don't know. But I think the reality is it's important. I think this is a high-profile nomination. This was never intended to be a throwaway nomination, in my opinion. And I think that there will also be some real misgivings among the Republican base if one of the senior-most positions within the administration can't get confirmed. It'll also show that they're still allowed to trash people's reputation and get away with it. So I think, even though I think DeSantis would be amazing, I'm fine with DeSantis if it came down to it. I'm okay with Pete Hegseth. I know that Pete, by the way, I have a feeling that Pete will be the guy who really takes care of the lower-ranking soldiers who need somebody to look after them. Dale.
If these allegations are real, then, I mean, he's obviously in a lot of trouble. But the smear job is sort of the point, right? Like you said, I think he's in trouble, obviously. The short answer is there. But you just have to ask, you know, how much of this do we allow to go on? But you just stand by him just because, you know, there's so much to this. And it's incredibly unfortunate because it looks as if all of the, yeah, maybe he's a carouser and a drinker. And good Lord, I've been doing morning radio for 30 years. There's been plenty of times when I've probably been legally drunk. Okay, but at
this
least
is not a confession booth.
I'm being honest. But I mean, I'm just telling you. I mean, good Lord. So I'm hungover, absolutely. Okay, and the idea that somehow makes him unfit to be there is ridiculous. If you've got like a rape allegation that you can prove, fine, take him down. But 10 unsourced people saying he drinks too much. Give me a break. Yeah, that's pathetic.
And by the way, what poor journalism to say. 10 anonymous sources. You got 10 that don't want their names out there on something like this, for the love of God.
Can we also just say this? And again, sir, I'm not trying to besmirch your character, but you've been in the military a long time. I'm assuming you knew a lot of pretty hardcore drinkers who were stand-up guys and got the job done, right?
I've known a few. Just a few.
Okay, checking.
And they didn't do radio. But yes, I did. All right, so Jeff, your own question. What are you thinking?
They have to get him through. If they don't get him through, the Democrats will smell blood in the water. Tulsi Gabbard is next, and Democrats and the media will pick these guys one off by one by one by one by one. They absolutely can't got a fight now. Gates was their mulligan, and now this is the hill to die on.
I don't disagree, and I think it's also very interesting, though, to see what Republicans are going to push back on this. And, you know, you're going to have the usual, you know, suspects like Collins and Murkowski. But I'm even seeing right now there seems to be a very soft sort of approach to this by people like Lindsey Graham. And they better get their act together. And I think we need to show a concerted effort on day one. All right, next question. Dale, what do you got?
All right, so sundown towns. Me and Jeff Poor and I have talked about this an awful lot. Coleman gets this reputation. They had the sundown sign in their town until 1994. And I'm like, really? Is there a photo of this? No, but everybody knows it. And it's like, what? Just give me something about this. Well, here we have AL.com, the preeminent news organization in the state. They are the paper of record with no newspapers. I got it. They're out here smearing Coleman, Alabama as a sundown town because some weirdo on TikTok said, we're not, I'm doing the voice here, we're not coming to Coleman. Oh, no, it may be a nice Christmas town, but we're not coming. And they put this up there as if that is quality content of any way, shape, or form, smearing an entire community. And then they just take it down and don't say a word about it because they got called out. My question is this. Should we metaphorically burn down AL.com? Metaphorically? And Jeff, I forgot to grab it when I saw it earlier, and now I can't find the video anywhere. Did anyone on your team grab it by any chance?
Grab what video?
Was it the
video?
The one that was on AL.com and the weird guy talking about Coleman?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I saw it. I don't know. I didn't know they took it down.
Yeah, so, I forgot to grab it.
So for the benefit of the audience, a sundown town is one that is still considered racially segregated, you know, all that kind of stuff. So what crap. So this is a classic. Go ahead, Jeff. What do you got?
There's got to be somebody from Coleman out there who can answer this damn question, because we've been calling around all day. We've been looking like, what I want. Listen, I want to have this headline. No, Coleman, Alabama is not a sundown town. But the people in Coleman, and for God's sakes, if there's somebody in this listing, guys, because this is smack dab right there in Coleman, Alabama, respond to us and help us, like, knock this rumor out once and for all. I've been hearing this sundown stuff my entire life about Coleman, Alabama. I grew up in Shelby County. It was like a thing. I spent time chasing it down. No one seems to even know anything about this. There's all kinds of rumors being peddled. But we got to put this to rest once and for all. If somebody out there has got to help me on this one.
Well, and you know, the new pro tem of the Alabama State Senate is going to be the senator from Coleman. So you think they would want to bring this story up before he got confirmed. But all said and done, what crap. And this is and once again, it's like one of those, like, if you have a picture of it, that's where you go with the story. But the idea of saying it's out there and making it news when there's nothing out there and no one can show you where they got these so-called news, that's not reporting. That's just tripe. That's social media. I heard it somewhere. It must be true because it was on the internet stuff. That's all that is.
It's called lying. It's called lying.
Okay.
That's what it is.
I like my version, but yeah, you're right.
This goes way back before social media. Like I said, this goes back a long time. This mythology about the sundown.
No, I don't even know why I care so much about it. It just pisses me off because it's a lie. I mean, it's just so ridiculous.
And by the way, Coleman's also a beautiful town. I mean, what a beautiful community.
It's made up. But, like, whenever you go try to, like, and Dale, you remember you spoke in Coleman that time and brought it up, and everybody kind of, you know, put their hands in their pocket. But, like, you remember that?
That's because they thought Dale went after their wallets. That's what was happening there. They were confused because the inebriated guy was speaking to them. That's what was happening. All right, last question. I got to go before we hit the break. No, you're fine. But listen, here's the bottom line. Speaking of Coleman, so Garland Gudger, state senator from Coleman County, is apparently going to be the next pro tem of the Alabama Senate, a pretty powerful position. He also, if I'm not mistaken, voted pro-gambling and anti-school choice last time, which shocked a lot of us. Your thoughts on this. Is he going to be a pro tem who sets an agenda and goes conservative, or is he going to be squishy and middle of the road, Dale?
I don't know. I mean, this is kind of concerning personally. I mean, look, the body voted for school choice and anti-gambling, right?
Right.
I mean, that's the reality.
Yep.
Can he move them in the other direction? Are they going to undo school choice? Probably not. Is there a big push for gambling coming? I think so. Jeff doesn't. And I don't think you do either. We've talked about this a lot. But can he... does he control what happens? Yeah, it's an important piece. I just wonder what the conversations were like with the pro-school choice people, because it's got to expand. I mean, that's the whole thing. You got to keep growing this thing and growing this thing. I think that's what's expected. But, yeah, this is an interesting choice. And it depends. Is it going to be his personal agenda or the agenda of the caucus?
And that's what I'm concerned about. Jeff, what do you think?
I don't think much is going to change from Gregory to Garland Gudger. I think the big thing will be the brand. I think Gudger's a much more like personable guy. Yeah. Reed is just kind of a cookie cutter politician, to be honest. But let me see this. A couple of things on the school choice. I don't understand that. I know he voted against it. On the gambling, I'd give him a little bit of a pass here. He is the most popular guy in the state house. Garland Gudger is the most popular guy. Everybody likes him. And he's the guy you want to go drink with. He's the guy that's always out partying. He is the most popular guy if they have like the yearbook category. The thing with him is, it is they got him to carry that gambling bill for that reason. And there were some deals trying to get him to carry that. If you carry this bill, if you be our guy on gambling, we'll help you get some of your other things through. I think he had a veterans bill he wanted and some other things. So, you know, that helps assuage some of the fears a little bit. The school choice, I don't understand at all.
No, I don't either. I mean, I heard that he backed off because his superintendent asked him to. Well, that's listen, if your superintendent asked you to, okay, but what were your constituents clamoring for? But then, so the reality is, I'm looking to see whether we're going to have somebody who will set an agenda, someone who will actually lead the herd the cat, so to speak, and not just try to pacify the Democrats to keep the train on the tracks. I'm ready for the train to come off the tracks once in a while. Like, how about get out there? What?
I mean, you were Livingston or Gudger. Neither one is going to do that, but your best shot at it is probably Gudger.
I would agree with that. I would agree that of the two that we had there, I think that Gudger is the one most likely to actually walk in the authority of the position and be a leader in it, and I'm looking for that. All right, we got to go to a break. I ran long. We'll come back with a short segment on round two of the Grand Council. I got Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News, and Dale Jackson at WVNN up yonder in Huntsville and Yellowhammer News. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Here on round two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. First question out the gate. Dale, what do you got?
All right. So I you know, one of the big questions I have about all this pardon stuff is, what did Hunter do in 2014 that he needs a pardon? that's question one that I have. And then I'll also ask, I was told that preemptive pardons were a sign of guilt. Our good friend, Mo Brooks, they were told that he requested a preemptive pardon, and I've talked to him about that multiple times, and we were told, well, the only reason you'd do that is if you were guilty. Well, apparently, they're considering preemptive pardons for Liz Cheney, Anthony Fauci, Adam Kinzinger, and others. Why?
Pray tell, why? Why? We know why. I mean, we know exactly why. Preemptive. I mean, listen, first of all, Hunter actually pled guilty. So he had two things that he's pled guilty to that he's now been pardoned for. Also in 2014, that's the year he was kicked out of the Navy for drug use. That would be federal. And then also in 2014, that was the year he started getting money from Burisma in Ukraine. And who knows what else has happened since then with money from foreign nations. The whole thing just is shady as the day is long. I had somebody tell me yesterday, you know, but he's a dad, and I get it. He's helping his son. I'm like, you know what? It doesn't work like that. And oh, by the way, if you were thinking you'd do it all along, then just tell the American people, you know, I'm really weighing that out. He's my son. Don't lie to us and say, it'll never happen. Not going to do it.
Or just say, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm his dad. Yeah, that's all you got to say. People will be like, wow, you're an a-hole, but we get it.
Yeah, and by the way, now we know why Hunter turned out the way he did, because apparently spankings and accountability were not required as he grew up. It still shows in his adult life. That's why he can sell finger painting and make millions of dollars.
They're feces paintings. That's what we've learned today.
Oh, wow. Somebody said that, and I thought, surely that's a joke. But Jeff, weigh in here. What are you thinking?
Just for a short time, I thought the question would be, y'all were both fathers. I mean, what would y'all have done?
I'd pardon him in a heartbeat.
You know what? I don't know that I would.
I'd hide the body, and then I'd pardon him.
I don't know that I would. I mean, the circumstances we got right now, it's not there was that one thing that my son did and it was a problem. It was a pattern of behavior that extended over 10 years worth of time. And I don't think in good conscience that anybody can look at that and go, it makes good sense to take care of that. That's and oh, by the way, it also indicates how much more he's covering up. So I really think, I don't know that I could. I don't know that I would. It's a hard call. I get it. but I'm also not president of the United States of America, hundreds of millions of people that look to me for leadership. So there's that. When you take a job like president, you sacrifice some of your personal ambitions, personal securities, and oh, by the way, personal efforts, period. There, I have spoken. Jeff, what you got?
Well, that was it. Like, and I just pushed back a little. I mean, I don't think that's true. I mean, well, here's what I think probably going to happen. He had the party going back 10 years because he's implicated personally. Joe Biden would be. So, you know, there was probably more where that came from. But I don't think because you're president of the United States, that changes your standing as a father. And I'd have to give my son another chance. I don't care how old he is. Yeah, I don't see being president changing that.
Yeah, but you're talking about this is like the nonviolent criminal version of a serial, you know, murderer. I mean, this is something that is not right. It's not one event. This is something that was 10 years worth of stuff that ranged from military to, you know, laundering
true.
To
all that's true. But let me offer on Jeff's side, because I agree with him. Do you really want your son, who is the son of the president of the United States of America, potentially ending up in a prison when you don't have any power outside to do anything about it? Now, do we think he's in a prison? No.
No.
But of course we don't.
I think he would have gotten time served. He would have got an ankle bracelet and he'd have played golf at some kind of secure facility.
Let me ask you this, guys. If he's not Hunter Biden, son of the president of the United States, do they even prosecute him?
Yes. I think they would have.
I think
the key indicator of that is the fact that it was actually the Biden administration's people that were actually doing the prosecution. So it's not like this is a surprise.
Well, I always thought this about that. I thought that they had to go after Hunter because they wanted to go after Trump, and they had to show this impartiality.
You know what? I think that's out the door, too. But it's a hard call, but I'll be honest with you. I think I disagree with y'all. I think that Biden had to put aside some of his familials in order to be a president because he's the president of the United States. We're out of time. Wow, that's a good one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Very much thank you to Jeff Poor from 1819 News. Dale Jackson writes for Yellowhammer. Both of them have their own radio stuff, FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile and on WVNN up in Huntsville. Love you guys. See you. Bye.